streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is September 26, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us live every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Ms. Kathy Parker out of Kentucky. She's going to talk tonight about her son, Anthony, who was staying, he was 16 years old and staying at a youth group home. And he and another boy were arguing over a flashlight. And the other boy eventually started hitting him and slammed his head into the cement floor. While employees stood by and did nothing, they sent him to bed. And hours later, when the staff went to check on them, they found him unconscious and not breathing. And ended up in the hospital with a brain bleed and on a ventilator. And needless to say, he did not survive this. So we're going to hear Kathy's story tonight and hear what really happened and what maybe solutions we can share for other people who go through the same situation. Before we talk to Kathy, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
I would just like to thank everybody for tuning in every Wednesday night and for all your support. And once again, we would just like to thank Ms. Parker for allowing us to do this interview with her to get her message out there for this type of incident don't happen to someone else. So without further ado, we would like to pass the mic over to Ms. Parker and for her to formally introduce herself.
My name's Kathy Parker. I'm from Kentucky, Cynthiana, Kentucky, born and raised in Ohio where my son was at. I don't know what else y'all want me to say.
That's okay. Well, welcome to the show, and we know it's a tough situation for you and it's hard to talk about. But let's talk about, first, tell us, what was going on with your son? He was 16 and he was in a group home. What was going on with him that he was in a group home?
My son was mentally challenged and he had lots of issues going on and he was sexually abused when he was younger and because of that sexual abuse, he actually acted out on his siblings, and because of all that and his mental issues, he had to be put somewhere safer to get intensive treatment to help him get better.
Okay.
So he was placed at One Way Farm.
And how long was he there before this incident happened?
About 18 months.
Okay. And how was he doing in the group home?
He was doing very well. We would see him every Sunday. I would call him every Thursday to talk to him. They all said he was very friendly, one of the nicest kids there. He had no problems. He was a very pleasant young man, always wanted to help somebody.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The other boy that was in the confrontation with Randy, they were arguing over a flashlight, something very simple, correct?
Correct. It was the boy who did it, he actually wasn't arguing. It was Anthony and another boy, and the boy who did it got fed up with listening to it. He said and he had a bad day that day and got fed up with the arguing.
So he got tired of hearing them argue, got up, and they had surveillance videos, so this whole incident was caught on cameras.
Yes. And
I watched it. It was pretty hard to watch. Pretty hard to watch, and especially seeing the caregivers just standing there, not even paying attention, steps away.
Yes, when I actually saw it, I saw it three times in court, and they were hard. Each time got better, I guess you'd say. It's weird. But the first time was very, I actually jumped and buried my face into my roommate's shoulder, and then they played it really slow quite a bit. So it was, I had to see it for myself to get closure on my son's death.
Right. So let our listeners know, you know, what exactly what happened that day.
On December 19th, about 11:30, I actually got a call from my girl's grandma saying my son was being taken by ambulance from the group home to Children's Hospital. All we knew at the time that there was an altercation and he was being rushed. I unfortunately was not able to get there that night because of transportation, and it was raining really hard and we didn't want another accident. About 1:30 at night, I got another call saying that he was being into surgery. And when I arrived there the next morning, he was in ICU, and the surgeon who did surgery said that he had removed two blood clots the size of his fist, the surgeon's fist, and he also said that he would never regain consciousness again. He also told us that if Anthony was brought in earlier, that there might have been a chance that he would have survived, but he had had a lot of seizures, and the brain bleed was actually a slow brain bleed from when he was hit, dumped on his head. I don't know how to phrase it. So he was on life support for a week. He actually, in one day, had over 100 visitors, and that was more than any child at Children's Hospital had in 1 week. On December, go ahead.
I was just saying, wow, that's a lot of people.
He, we decided that he could have stayed on life support the rest of his life, but we know that Anthony didn't want to be like that, so we tried to make Christmas the best for my girls and for us as normal, but it'll never be the same. And on December 28th, we removed life support and at, like, I think 2 o'clock, and at about 10 till 8 that night, he passed on. And then there was the boy who did got arrested that night, and he's been in jail ever since the incident. And then there was trials, and then finally there was a jury trial back in June, and it lasted 3 days.
So I've read several different articles on the internet, newspaper
yeah.
articles. One said that in the beginning that he could have got up to 15 years. Later it said that he was only given 5 years probation. So tell us what really happened.
When we went to trial, he was on jury trial. There was witnesses. There was the coroner, the lady who did the autopsy, and then there was witnesses for Lance, that's the boy who did it. And when the jury deliberated on the third day, they only deliberated for like 2 hours. The choices, he was originally charged with murder of my son. And then it got to murder, involuntary manslaughter, and I think, I don't know what the third one was. And he was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. According to Ohio's laws with this incident, they've changed recently, and the most he could have gotten was up to 36 months because of this. And when we went to do the sentencing, I read my letter. My girl's dad read the letter, and my girl's grandma did, and then Lance spoke, and he had gotten an extra 54 days in jail. He got 5 years probation. One of them's intensive probation, 500 hours of community service, alcohol and drug testing. He's got to get his GED, a job, and he's got to do anger management classes. And if he fails the alcohol drug one time, or if he gets in trouble one time, he automatically does 4 years on top of everything else.
Wow.
And because he was a minor at the time of the incident and he got charged as an adult, there was a mandatory law or charge that he gets binded back over to juvenile. So Friday there's a hearing, and I had posted online tonight. There's something new. I don't even understand it. There's a new law about juveniles that did this when they were 16 or 17. He could stay in juvenile, or he can go back to juvenile court or stay in adult court. They're trying to get him out on the 14th, but the hearing is either Friday or October 22nd to see what goes on.
Wow.
So this new law that's being passed Friday puts a new twist on my son's case.
Right. So, but he was 17, but he's 18 now, right?
He was 17 when this happened, and he got charged as an adult, and when he was in jail, he turned 18.
Okay.
And when he was on the trial, he seemed like he was very remorse. I personally blame the home, but I also blame Lance in a way, but I have a different outlook on Lance that anyone will be surprised as a mother of a child that got in this incident would be shocked as how I feel about it. But I really do blame the home because actually it ruined two people's life. One's dead and one's in jail.
Well, and it ruins more people's life than that because it affected you and your family and his family, and so it affected a lot of people.
Anthony had a two younger sisters, a younger brother, and then five younger siblings.
Wow, he was the oldest.
My daughter Jessica is 15, and then I have a daughter, 13, Gabrielle, and then my youngest is Noah, and he's 8. And he actually took it the hardest, even though he wasn't close to. I mean, he was close to Anthony because he lived in Ohio and we lived in Kentucky, so we tried to see him as much as we could. But he's taken it the hardest. He will, for his age, he acts out for saying he wants to kill himself to be with his brother, and that's his way of expressing how much he misses his brother.
That's really sad. Now, when on the video that it shows, it's the surveillance video of inside the room, it's like a day room where some of the kids are hanging out. The living room?
Yeah, that was the living room. That's what they said in court. That was the living room.
And it's been a couple of weeks since I watched the video, but there was at least one or two adults in that room, correct?
They were actually in another room. I think they were in the room.
There was one lady standing there on the left side of the video, kind of with her back to them and just kind of like ignoring them.
When this happened and I seen it for the first time, I got really upset because they waited. If it's on video, they waited till like the third hit when he lunged him and picked him up and threw him headfirst in the concrete. And then they used the word he taunted over Anthony and punched him yet again in the head, and that's when they broke up the fight. And when they broke up the fight, they didn't even help my son up. They stepped over him, and you could tell my son was having trouble getting up.
Why? Because he laid there for a couple seconds and just kind of didn't even move for a minute.
And then
they stepped over him, and I don't know. It's hard to hear in the video, but it says here that they told him, oh, you're fine, just go to bed.
The video actually doesn't have any sound to it. Didn't have sound in the courtroom. They showed an incident an hour later where they were getting a sandwich, and you can still tell my son was holding his head, and my son is one of these kids that he will not tell you that he's sick or anything. He has a hard time explaining it. I guess that's with his disability. And I could tell that something was wrong. He was walking off and everything, and they put him to bed, and 3 hours later they found him unconscious with vomit in the bed.
Wow. That's just horrible.
And then we found out Ohio's standards for this. He should have been checked on every 15 minutes, and he wasn't checked every 15 minutes. They said he was fine and went to bed, and he wasn't fine because the coroner had said the fracture caused a head fracture, which caused a slow brain bleed, which eventually killed him.
Right.
And, when this happened, we had an anonymous donor. Somebody out of One Way Farm said there was a donor that would pay for the funeral. They didn't give us a price on it or anything. And when a day before we had it all set up, and they said it was only $5,000, and we had to change everything to a cremation.
Oh wow!
So he's not placed anywhere. He's just sitting at my kid's house right now until things get settled and we get a place for him. And I would like to put him in the ground where everyone can visit him. So.
Right.
It's just been a while.
How have your other kids, your older, your teenage girls, how have they been able to handle all this?
I talk to them every day because they're up in Ohio with their grandma. My oldest daughter somewhat talks to me about it, and my younger daughter, she's mentally challenged too, and she talks to her counselor about it. They're dealing with it in their own ways. Me and my son actually see a grief counselor. We both have a regular counselor. I was diagnosed with, some disorder, adjustment disorder. Sorry, I had to think for a minute. My doctor told me it'd take 6 months to a year before I got over this disorder, and he was really worried about me when I came home and I went to the doctor. Everyone's been really worried about me because I don't talk a lot about it. I don't talk to many people anymore. I just shelter myself and move day to day because I move on from my kids. I know that's what Anthony would want, so.
Wow. So it's been just 6-7 months? Just since this past December, right?
Yeah. His birthday's actually coming up in October. There's court hearings in October, so October is going to be a rough month for everyone. So we're actually on the 17th. I'm having a tribute balloon release with my church and my son, and hopefully get my girls down here to release balloons in honor of my son and some other people that have passed down here, so. Start a good tradition with my kids in honor of my brother.
Well, that's a nice thing to do, to start a tradition and just, you know, another way to remember him, keep his memory going, and to show, you know, that you love him, you miss him. And it's a way for the kids to express themselves, and, you know, they can write on the balloon or they can put a note in the balloon and you know, just release it. It's pretty nice.
And I do know that there's a law trying to get passed up in Ohio. I don't know what's going on with it or anything, that anyone in a group home or any type of setting like that that injures their head has to automatically be checked out by the hospital or a doctor, and it's going to be named in honor of my son.
Wow, that's cool.
So we want to get the awareness out about the head injury or any type of injury, because any type of fight like this would go wrong, couldn't end up like this, and I don't believe that's the right thing to do, is to fight, because you never know what would happen, and we had a death because of a fight. And the sad thing was my son never fought back. They claimed it as a fight, and the fight to me is somebody who fights back, and my son was actually trying to get away from him.
Right. Right. So. He didn't fight back.
No, he never fought back once. He was never a fighter. He was 5'7". He was only 100-something pounds, and Lance was 6'5", and weighed at least 200 pounds.
Was he that big?
In courtroom, he looked skinny, but his height was like 5 inches taller, I think. I don't know how they described it. There is a big height difference between him and my son.
Oh, Right. Yeah. Remembering the video, yeah, your son didn't fight back. He just kind of protected himself and stayed there. And the fight didn't last very long either. It was like a few hits and a, you know, and his head to the floor, and it was over pretty quick. But
yep.
I still remember seeing the daycare person, an adult, standing there and not doing anything for the first part of it. They might have said stop, and maybe that's when it stopped, but they did not move. They just stood there, and I was just appalled by that.
And they are working. I don't know if they're going to follow through with one, a civil lawsuit against the workers. The prosecutors were talking about it. They were waiting till Lance's trial and everything was over with before that. So I don't know. We're supposed to hear something back on it, and we haven't yet. So we're waiting to hear about that, too, to see if there will be a civil trial against the workers that were there that night. In the trial, Lance had told us, not us, but the courtroom, that it wasn't over a flashlight. Well, it was, but it was also Anthony has said some derogatory things towards him during the day about his mom. And they kind of played the him not having his parents. He had came to the group home. He had ran away from his aunt and uncle's house and had truancy, and he had came there with an ankle bracelet. And they said he had no criminal record, nothing. He was not a violent person or anything, but apparently he was. In the courtroom, he said he did not intend to kill my son, but he did want to hurt him. And this is where I believe that I don't know if he really meant to kill my son, but he did mean to hurt him. We do know that. He was crying. I mean, I have mixed emotions about that. I sometimes think, well, he really didn't intend to kill him, but the hurt ended in killing him. And he, at the sentencing, he was very remorseful. He says he plays over in his head every day, wishes he could go back and do things different. He asked that one day we would forgive him. So only time will tell on that.
That's the thing that kids need to understand. When you assault somebody, you know, you don't mean to kill them necessarily. You do, obviously, you want to hurt them at that time, whether it's a kick, a slap, a punch, a hit, knock down, whatever, it's an assault against somebody. And that assault can, you know, lead to further damage, just like it did with Anthony. You know, they can fall and hit their head. They can, I mean, there's just so many things that they can do that do lead to death, you know, and these kids need to understand that, you know, they should not be hitting other kids as a way to control their anger, because it's not a positive way to control their anger.
And he could have been bullied because of the issues that my son was there. You never really know what happened, because you don't have the two sides of the story, or there were other kids in the room, and we really don't know exactly if it was over a flashlight, if it was he had a bad day. I think sometimes hearsay, but the video shows it all. That's what I tell people. He can't deny what he did on video. He said his third hit, he hit him with all his force. So, I mean, he knows he seriously injured him that ended his life. So he has to live with that the rest of his life. At a young age, I think that's really sad, but he did it, so he will have to live with it the rest of life, just like we have to live without Anthony the rest of our life. So
exactly. So did they did charge him with manslaughter? He said
they charged him with murder. He was found not guilty of murder, and then he was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Okay, and 5 years probation.
And 5 year probation, 54. He's been jailed at the sentencing. He was in jail 246 days, and he got an extra 54 days.
That still doesn't even seem like, you know, I mean, 5 years probation, is really not a lot, even for, I would say, involuntary manslaughter.
What they did say in this paper yesterday, if they keep in the adult court, it will be on his adult record. His attorney, they don't want him to have this on his record so he can further his education, get a job or anything. So this is something new. We don't know if it'll be on his record or not. I kind of had lots of emotions when I read it yesterday, and personally, hope he does have a record because he did it. I mean, he'll know, everyone that's seen it in Ohio, it's been on the news channel since the day it happened, and they've been following it. There'll be more, if there's more hearings with him, they'll be there. So
Wow. It's
something he can't deny, because if people see his face, they might recognize it from TV now and the paper and everything.
Right. So what message do you want to get out tonight after telling your story?
Well, one of the messages is that if they're in a group home and the child injures themselves or gets injured, that they need to be checked out right away, because if you wait, you could end up like in my son's case and have a death in your hands, and that to me is not a good thing.
And right, you better safe than sorry when it comes to head injuries and different.
With the kids, kids today, I really don't think they should be fighting, because fighting ends up this way too. So
that's right. Yep. So when is the next court date, and what's going from now on? What's happening?
The next court date is Friday. It's only I don't even know how long it'll last. That's to determine if he will be heard, be taken back in the juvenile system or kept in the adult. And I read online that the actual hearing is October 22nd of next month.
Okay.
And that will determine if the juvenile judge will take in if there will be more sentence. Because if he takes it and there's more hearings, his sentence could get longer. So it's a wait and see game now. So
definitely. Well,
that's going on with my son's case right now.
Right. We're going to take a break here for just a minute, Kathy, and let you take just a quick break. We're going to play a commercial here, and
okay.
Then we'll be right back.
Okay.
This guy that we knew, we gave him some meth, and he went to shoot it up. And he died. We left his house, and a few weeks later we found out that killed him. Like, he was up in his room, and his dad went up there, and he was dead. My name is Bob. I'm 16 years old. I started doing meth when I was 9. I regret when I was on meth, giving it to little kids, like 12-year-olds and stuff, selling it to them. I regret, like, helping cook it. My little brother sees it, like, when I'm doing it. He sees it sometimes, and I think he doesn't know what it is, but I think he thinks it's like a cool thing to do, and got to be grown up to do it. I tell him how bad it is, and tell him it really ain't that cool, and just try to explain to him that it's not fun. It'll ruin his life.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the Streets of Love You Back radio show. And once again, we live right here with Ms. Parker telling her message to the world. And once again, Ms. Parker, we are delighted to have you on here to spread that message, to avoid this from happening to others. And what advice would you like to give people that's going through this tragedy as of yourself?
What would I like to be more careful, especially if you place your child into a home, to really check it out. to see what their standards are, especially with their safety, and to pretty much be careful what you do with your kids and love them, because you never know what the next day will bring.
Yes, indeed. That's quite well said, you know. And along the way, Ms. Park, would you like to say something to anyone on the air while you're on the air tonight?
No, I don't know if any. I know some friends online are listening. That's as much as I know. I don't know of anyone that I know personally that's on listening to this, so I don't really have anything to say.
Okay, well, you know, we would like to just give Miss Linda a big shout out for you know, letting you know about us, and
yep. She was one of the ones that said she was going to listen tonight. So,
right, we appreciate that. You know, Miss Linda is a good lady, and she definitely bring people our way to get their message heard on the radio show. So we just want to send a big shout out to Miss Linda as well. You know. And without further ado, I'll pass the mic back over to the missus. And, you know, any last words you would like to say, Ms. Park, or anything before we get out there?
No, that's it.
Do you have a website for Anthony or anything that you wanted to give out? Maybe if people wanted to go and remember him, pay respects, or anything like that?
I have one on Facebook. It's called an Loving Memory of Anthony Parker.
Okay, Loving Memory of Anthony Parker. So if anyone wants to go check out that website and leave some remarks to Kathy.
If they want to join, all they have to do is ask to be in the group, then I'll accept them.
Okay. Well, Kathy, gosh, you know, our heart goes out to you and your family, and you know, and it's just a tragic thing that happens, and it happens all the time, you know. Like you said, you know, Lance probably didn't intend to kill him, but definitely hurt him. And when you intend to hurt somebody, you just don't know what can happen and what can come out of that. And for some people, death is the result of that. And, you know, we're really sorry that your son Anthony had to go through that and had to suffer. And you know, if there's anything we can do during your journey to help you, you know, please let us know. And, you know, we just send out our deepest sympathies and our prayers to you and all of your family and loved ones.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed being on the show, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. That the streets don't love you back and all that. So if I can help you in any way down the road, I will be more than happy to.
That's awesome. Just keep in touch with us on Facebook and keep us updated with what you're doing. And if you feel like you would like to do this at some point here in the near future, we can hook you up with our host in Cincinnati of our Keep It Real show, and we can get you on the air in the studio, and you can tell your story there if you'd like.
I will. I'll be up there soon. I'm actually hoping to get back up there closer to my kids and all that. So when that time comes, I will let you guys know.
Definitely. Just keep in touch with us and let us know. You know, whenever you're ready, you know, it's all on you. Whenever you're up to it. All right. Well, we thank you so much again for coming on and sharing your story. And we, you know, it's a powerful message, and we need people to know that, you know, if you're injured with a head injury and, you know, the child definitely needs to be checked out, looked in on, but better safe than sorry. Get him to a physician, an urgent care, a doctor, somebody that's trained in this field to, you know, look for any abnormalities of a head injury. And, you know, just get him checked out and definitely keep an eye on him. Let him, you know, I mean, gosh. What's the price of paying for a CAT scan versus somebody's life? You know, you're just better off getting them checked out.
Exactly. I totally agree with you.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, once again, we thank you, Ms. Park, for coming. And you know, we just want to just let you know we're here. If you need to get a message out in any kind of way, we'll definitely get it out for you.
All righty. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. You have a great night now.
You too.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'd just like to give our last announcements tonight. That was Ms. Park on the show tonight and spreading her message to help save lives as well. And we just want to say if you have not joined our movement page, you can log on to www.thestreetsonofyourback.ning.com. And if you have not got that book in your house or in your library anywhere, please log on and purchase the Streets and Love Your Back book and the Never Hit a Woman book. And also you can go online and purchase any of our clothesline, from our hoodies to our beanie hats to our sweatsuits, you know, on and on. So stop by and check out and see what we got going at the online store as well. And if you ever need me to speak anywhere, you can log on, and speaking engagements information is right there on the website as well. And once again, we just wanted to give a big shout-out again to Ms. Linda Shiro for always sending people our way to get their message out right here on the radio show. And we send a big shout-out to our daughter, little Linda, as well, and their family. So we're just asking people to get involved and, you know, let's help save lives and let's keep doing what we're doing. And we'd like to give a big shout-out to all our members inside the prison walls that work with the movement as well. So we're just thanking everybody on the streets that's involved with us and helping others as well. So without further ado, I'll pass the mic to the missus for her last words as well. And don't forget to log on and purchase some of my music. We got a lot of good music out there. It's on iTunes. I mean, it's just in so many different online retail stores. I can't even name them all. But you just Google the Streets Don't Love You Back soundtrack, and it pop up everywhere. So we got some great songs out there. So get with us on that as well. And peace and love, and we thank everybody for always tuning in every Wednesday night.
And September 25th, which was yesterday, is also a day honoring and remembrance of all those who have been murdered and victims of crime. So we just give a shout out to all of those people who had been taken from us because of crimes and murder and just wrongdoing. And we send out our sympathies to all of the family members of those who have had to go through that. So with that, we are going to go out tonight with a song by OG Suicide called Never Give Up. And this is a song about suicide prevention and never giving up no matter what comes your way. And we wish you a great week. Please join us back here next Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. And until then, just remember, the streets don't love you back. Good night.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh?
What's good?
Can't make no shots, man.
Can't make no shots. I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect.
I love
you. You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up, you know. Never give up, no matter what it is in life. You can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know.
Okay.
I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's all right.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. with it, homie. To the prayer.